you may look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Fun. Welcome back to this hour of the Hagman Hagman Report. We will be taking first-time callers tonight, and I just want to thank Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank Todd for working so hard. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. Before we get to the phone lines and the telephone number, Joe, it's unlisted, but we'll give it out to you guys, right?
Yeah, we can give it out.
Actually, it's the only working number, the only number that we take calls on is via Global Star Radio Network. And if you go to HagmanHagman.com, the number's there.
844.
It's 844.
769. 2944.
2944.
844-769-2944.
That's right.
We're looking for first-time callers, at least for this hour.
And tonight, I just want to mention as well portions of this program brought to you by HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com. Dr. Ted Brower, who, by the way, will be a guest coming up this Friday. The reason, well, there's a lot of reasons. We were talking, and he has been hovering over many targets of geopolitical events. And since he's been back from Germany, his trip to Germany, he's learned and put together a lot of information. So healthmasters.com, pay him a visit. And you know what? Look, I think we can still do this. Doug5 at the coupon. Use Doug5 as a coupon code. I think you can still get 5% off your order. Now, I'm not sure. I think you kind of wanted to shut that down, but let's make them work for it. Doug5 at the checkout. Get 5% off your order. I know I ordered something yesterday and did it and went through, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He's probably going to call me up saying, what are you doing? It's cool. Doug5. HealthMasters.com. And AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You know, with all the stuff coming up, Joe, I mean, all the potential supply disruptions, please, folks, make sure you've got something in your pantry.
And I just want to cite this article while we're talking about American Survival Wholesale. This article... The U.S. government has recently issued two alarming warnings to PrEP, but is anybody listening?
Yeah. That's
an article from the Organic Prepper. It says when the U.S. government steps outside of the apple pie and baseball narrative of the American dream and issues warnings to PrEP, you'd better pay strict attention and start upping your preparedness game. And it goes on to say that the U.S. government, much like the ones in Venezuela and Greece, likes to paint a rosy picture of life in our country. But often, things happen, and to the point that those who are awake and incredulous, and then there's others who accept the propaganda.
Yeah, but it's easier to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, much easier.
Everything's fine. We're good.
But they say, what does it mean when that rosy picture gets a huge rip down the center? particularly when the rip comes straight from the government, whose usual job it is to Photoshop the rip so no one sees them. Anyway, Obama issued the first of two warnings to prep. And first, President Obama stepped away from the golf course to address FEMA at the end of May. And there's a transcript via Michael Snyder. And you can check out the information there. But the government has issued two warnings to prep, two alarming warnings to prep since May. And is anybody listening?
Yeah, well, we are.
Cue American Survival Wholesale.
That's right. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And, you know, they have a Bible drive. They give away Bibles or furnish Bibles. And go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com and read about that. If you need a King James Bible, American Survival Wholesale can hook you up, okay? Speaking of that, have you heard about this? The Council on American Islamic Relations, Assalamu Alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. That's some sort of Arabic greeting, apparently. Got this via CARE, the Council on Islamic Relations. The Quran Project team. Now think about this. Listen to what is happening here in our country. Following, and here's the text of, I'm just going to cite portions of this email. This is a mass emailing that went out to, I think, 140,000, 150,000, maybe more, I'm not sure, people across the United States. And we monitor CARE, we monitor a lot of various Islamic sites. But listen to this. Following the death of Muhammad Ali, interest in information about Islam and the American Muslim community has skyrocketed. Ah, really? So if you're looking for a cause to support this Ramadan, and folks, we're in the Muslims are celebrating Ramadan now, you should consider sponsoring a copy of the Quran through CARE's Share the Quran Project, allowing a beautiful copy of the Quran to be distributed to Americans of all faiths and backgrounds seeking knowledge about Islam. Now, my question, Joe, before I get my question, they reportedly have 12,000 copies of the message of the Quran in their inventory, and they want to get them in the hands of our interfaith partners, as they call them.
Wow.
So if you're a Christian, they want you to get a hold. They want to give you a copy of the Quran. And the Share the Quran Project, according to CARE, is one of CARE's most important and successful education initiatives to date. They have reportedly distributed more than 120,000 copies of the Quran to people and institutions across America. Now, okay, so for a limited time, you can sponsor one of the 6-volume box set editions of the Message of the Quran for just $25 or $25. I'm not sure how many bucks you can actually send to. No, never mind. That didn't land. But know that, I just want people to know that there's this full court press to CARE to convert Christians and Jews and Hindus and all religions to Islam. They're pulling out all the stops right now. And they're using this time, especially right now, as we see Obama ostensibly getting ready to vacate the premises, the People's House, maybe, perhaps, I don't know, but that's what we're led to believe. They want to do as much damage as possible. And before we get to the phones, I just want to say this. You know how weird this was? I went to the store and I was in line. And there was a woman ahead of me, and she looked at me, and this is the first time this has happened to me in my hometown. And she looked at me, and she was, you know, putting her groceries on the thing, on the belt. And I just had 3 or 4 things. And she was an older, I don't know, she, not my age, maybe 10 years younger. And she looked at me, and kept putting her groceries on. And then she looked back and she said, "Are you Don? You're Don." I said, "No, I think you have me mixed up with someone else." "No, no, no. You wrote a book. You wrote a murder book, a murder mystery book." And I said, "Yeah, my name's Doug." And she said, "Yeah, your picture. I know your picture." Anyway, that was the first time. I just want to mention that because I was like taken by surprise. That was like, holy cow, man. That, you know, can't hide anymore, I guess. Anyway, but thank you for everyone for making Stand By Blood a success. I guess that was the intent of my.
Yeah.
And thank you so much thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Folks, we're taking your calls. First time callers, we have a preference for first time callers. 844-769-2944. Again, that's 844-769-2944. Let's go to our first call of the evening, Fawn in New Mexico. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
How's it going, Joe and Doug?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
I honestly just wanted to call in and say congratulations for all your guys' guests, all the great work you guys do, and pretty much God bless you guys. I mean, you've been able to help me. You've been able to help me figure out my faith in so many different ways that I just wanted to come on and say thank you, guys.
Wow. Well, thank you. I mean, yeah. That's we appreciate that. And we appreciate knowing that we've played some small role in, you know, you've really done it. We're just here, and sometimes we're in the way. Sometimes we're not, but sometimes we are. You've done it.
If you don't mind me asking, how did you hear about the show?
You know, to be honest, guys, that's a good question. I've been listening to you for about 3 to 4 years. And before, you know, I listened to Alex Jones and all kinds of other places. I even listened to Coast. But your guys is the show format you guys have, and the people you guys have on. You know, it speaks to me in such a way that, like I said, it's just helped with my faith. It's helped grow me. I really wouldn't know. I don't really remember how I got started listening to you guys.
we don't really remember how we got started doing this, so we're here in good company, I guess. Well, thank you. Thank you, my friend. We really appreciate that. And let's just stay listening. And any, you know, anything we can do for you in terms of if you have guests that you'd like to have, you know, we get guest suggestions all the time. And certainly we look at everyone you know, we try to accommodate as many people as possible, but we really appreciate your input and your critique of the show and your assessment of the show. So thank you, and appreciate you as a listener.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Fawn. All right, brother. Thank you.
We're going to go to a Montana resident.
Montana.
Debbie in Montana. We've been there before,
yes.
Surprisingly. Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Doug. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Okay, good. I have first, of course, to thank you for all your fine shows and all that you do. My question is really simple, but there's probably not a simple answer.
Okay.
We've been through 8 years of a lot of discouragement. Depression, discouragement over things that have happened to our country. What does a normal American do if Hillary Clinton is elected? I mean, what do?
Run.
No. You know what? That's a great question, because I really believe that that's, you know what? Debbie, right?
Yes.
Okay, Debbie, I don't have anything to base this on except just my assessment of the geopolitical landscape and the objectives of the globalists. I really think that that's what we're going to be facing this time around, barring something different. But,
and I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too. I don't have anything to base that on. Just you know.
If anything, what we should do is increase our reaching out to others,
right,
we would increase standing in the gap and occupying our playing our positions, because with the Hillary Clinton presidency, and not that, I mean, a Trump presidency, we don't know what really to expect from that, but we have a better idea of the Clinton presidency, and it would be very Orwellian. It would be very oppressive.
You know, I'll tell you what. Something, Debbie, hold right there here, because I got an email that I think fits this, from Maria Canise. She's the author of Prepare for Persecution and other books. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And now here is. Let me grab this email because it speaks to your question, and I thought this was wow. I thought, you know, this is really, really right on target. Where is it here? What Joe said though, Joe. While I'm finding this,
if people remember the atmosphere when the when Obama was reelected, and
depression.
A lot of people, yeah. I mean, they saw the continuation of the Bush policies that Obama ramped up, including his own stuff that he had, from the NDAA to the Arab Spring and the Muslim Brotherhood ties, and bringing those people into parts of our government. There was a overwhelming sense of dread.
Yes, yes.
And has been. Absolutely.
And things have continued to get worse. You know, the job sector just continues to get gutted. The middle class is being broken down even more so today than ever before. And the illegal immigration is no longer illegal. It's just now migration. And the latest numbers show that the feds are spending nearly $20,000 to settle every refugee here in the U.S., not including the food and cash assistance they receive once they get here. So the damage that has been done and that will continue to be done just from what Obama has accomplished is astronomical.
And George Bush, too, and I'm sorry to lay it on
he doubled
Tim
the food stamp recipients in his time as president. He doubled the national debt in his time as president. He started two wars, one of which, Afghanistan, we are still in, the longest war in U.S. history.
Debbie and Joe, I found, now this is from Marie Canise, and she sent this to me earlier today, and it made me think, what your question, Debbie, made me think of this email. And here's what she wrote. She said this: my dad was with the OSS during World War II. He was stationed in England. As an aside, my father was in World War II, and he was in the Pacific Theater. But anyway, writes Maria, he was part of a think tank, and he also interviewed pilots who had been shot down in Germany and made it back to England. His think tank group came up with the floating pontoons that were used for the landing in Normandy. And then there's some other stuff that he did that's classified. But here's the key here. Now, her father used to tell her about something that happened. It was a video that they were able to capture, a film at the time, of an American airplane that got shot down over the ocean by the Nazis as the airplane was going down, even into and underneath the water. The gun was still firing. The gunner in the bubble underneath the plane was still manning his position and still firing even as the plane was going into the water. The gunner would not quit doing his job. And she writes, that's what we need to do. We need to do that. We need to see. If we stay up in the air where we belong, that's great. But if we get shot down, then we need to go down still doing our jobs until the last possible second. And I think to answer your question, Debbie, I think that's what we need to do. We need to just keep doing what we're doing, but do it even with more vigor. I
think you're probably right there. It's you know, you talk about the refugees getting $20,000. Do you know there's many Americans that are not making $20,000 a year? So many struggling, and they're trying to raise one or two children. And you know, maybe things are different here in Montana, but it's just sad. It's and how are we supposed to keep working and paying our taxes into this corrupt system? That's what really hurts. Just such corruptness. And well, we'll see how it all plays out. But I've just been thinking to myself, just, I mean, what if she, and there again, there is no guarantee with Trump, but it was a little roll of the dice that we had, only a roll of the dice. But I thought, how can we all sustain any more of this corruptness? How can we? I just truly don't know.
We're a pretty resilient nation, aren't we? I mean, we've suffered a lot, and we're still kicking. Now, we might be on life support, but we're still, you know, we still have life. But you're correct. But I think that our test as Christians is here, but will even be greater over the next number, I don't know, however many number of years we have left. I think our test as Christians are going to, we're going to be tested. And
I think we've had it easy for a long time, and I of course we've become an immoral nation basically, and I think we're going to be tested, and I think we're going to be judged too. This may all be part of it, but it doesn't make it easy to keep going down this path, that's for sure, with no hope. Amen. No hope, you know.
Well,
but I think
you know what, Debbie, we've got hope in because we know how the story ends, but we have hope not only with God, but with other like-minded people. I don't know if you're surrounded with like-minded people, but if you are, that's a blessing, you know. And if you're not, then allow us to be your, you know.
Well,
like-minded.
And I do, and myself and my family, we're all born again Christians, and we do have that hope and that knowledge. Just everyday living seems to be tougher and tougher. I mean, there's been some real damage done, and I'm in my early 60s. I've lived through good times when money flows. I've lived through recessions. This is a different kind of raping that's going on now. I don't even know. But I do thank you for taking my call and taking such time to help answer my question. And please keep up the good work. Listen to you every night. And thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Same to you both. Same to you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We have the greatest audience in the world. We really do.
Yes, we do. Up next is Raven in Illinois. Raven, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yes, hi, guys. I have a question. I listen to you all the time. I noticed in my neighborhood there are some construction workers, and one of the guys put up a flag, an American flag, and he had a skull bone on it. And that kind of puzzled me because I didn't understand what it meant. I've never seen an American flag with a skull on it. Do you happen to know
what
it is?
An American flag with what on it?
With a skull.
Skull. You mean where the stars would be, or?
It was like under the lines.
No.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, I know what you mean. I'd like to say novelty flags.
Well, yeah.
What it is, it's like just imagine Photoshop in a picture of an American flag with a skull underneath the stripes. I have not seen those. I know what you're talking about.
You mean
about
like the stripes would be kind of, the stripes would cover like a,
there would be an intermix. The skull and the stripes would come together on the flag.
Well, we'll put that question out to our listening audience. I mean, if you know what that is, what it means, if
and
you
people
have any
could have those made
it.
Themselves with, you know, the right store and with the right design.
Well, my question is, why would it be an American flag? It wasn't a small skull. It was a huge skull. It was so noticeable. And they're like over there, they were like, I don't see why construction workers would put that up. And it's over by, like, they're digging up something. And I happened to ask one of the guys what they were doing over there, and he just said, we're going underground. And that's all he would tell me.
That's interesting. It sounds like a custom flag, but there could be something much more to it.
I just searched this.
Was it the actual size of the flag with a skull on it, or was it?
Yes.
Okay. Because we're seeing pictures of a skull shape with the flag colors and stripes and stars on it, but this would be a flag.
It's interesting because the comment was, "We're going underground."
They were digging underground by a railroad track.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well, we'll just put that out to the listeners. If you know what the meaning of this is, or if it's just simply a novelty, or if there's a deeper meaning behind it, please let us know.
It's kind of weird because it's in the neighborhood, and it's like you hear all the stuff going on, and it's like, what in the world's going on over there?
Really? Yeah. Interesting. Interesting indeed. Well, thank you.
Okay, and I listen to you guys. You guys are great. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Raven.
Okay.
Anything else?
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
All right. Yeah, we see some pretty odd things, and it's amazing how people's tolerance for destroying the American flag. You know, think back to Vietnam. The Vietnam era, not you, Joe, but I remember back, you know, in the late 60s, I think that's when it really began in earnest, the anti-war activities and the American flag being burnt.
Yes,
man, you know,
and now we're seeing at the Trump rallies, the American flag being burnt while the Mexican flag is being, promoted.
Right.
You're seeing, I don't know how many people saw this, but a lot of people watch Jason A. He puts out these videos at least once a week. They're a compilation of news, current events, and prophecy.
He's a black man, right?
I'm not sure. But there was...
No, I'm thinking of somebody else, okay.
In his latest video, he showed a municipality in America where a city councilman compared the local firefighters with the American flag on the back of their truck to ISIS terrorists and said they look like a bunch of yahoos with the American flag that needs to be taken off the back of the truck. They're a bunch of terrorists. Referring to American firefighters.
Really?
Which was an interesting, very interesting, and it was caught on a hot mic. So if you just search, firefighter... flag waving firefighters compared to terrorists, I'm sure you can.
But who made that? Who made that comparison?
It was I'm not sure which county or state it was in, but it was one of the local municipalities, council members.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, and we're seeing that. We're seeing this deliberate, and this is why we speak about the Tavistock Institute, folks, because behind this engineering that's taking place with language and symbols, because symbols are an important part of our culture. We're seeing an assault on things like the American flag, and maybe if you're a Christian, you might say, well, the American flag is meaningless to me. Well, I don't believe it shouldn't be meaningless. It's symbolic of our nation, and our nation is, as Michael Savage states, a nation is comprised of borders, language, and culture. I mean, that's what makes a nation, an independent nation. So, we're seeing an assault. This is all part of the assault, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it is. Very much so. Let's go. Let me see here. Make sure we get these in order. Mary in Washington State.
Hello, good evening.
There you go. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report. Hi, Mary.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Very well. It's good to have you, Mary. What's on your mind?
Well, is there any questions that you would like us as the listening viewers and who support you and pray for you?
Wow. I didn't kind of expect that.
No.
Well, you've been such a blessing to all of us, and we live in perilous times, and we need to come alongside, if we can't financially, prayerfully, and ask what your needs are, because, you know, we don't know what goes on in the background of your lives, and I'm sure you both have made individual and collective sacrifices to put your program on the air and it be a mission of your life. So I'm sure there's many sacrifices of time and family events you've had to make. And so I just want to know, what would you like to ask us as listeners?
I'll give you my two cents real quick and then toss it to Joe.
Okay.
If people could pray that we never lose sight, that we never get discouraged, and we never succumb to discouragement. That we always put the truth in our listeners, and by listeners I mean our extended family first. And
yes,
that when called, and I think that there's going to be a time in very very soon, there's going to be a time that we're going to be tested so heavily. And all I want to do is be, all we want to do as a radio show is to rise to the level that God would want us to do God's, I mean, we want to be obedient to God and help every one of you, everyone out there. If we want to be a blessing to you, our listeners, we want to be a blessing to you folks. And we just never want, I mean, for me, when that stops, then our mission is a dismal failure, you know. So,
yeah, I would say praying for the show, praying that we answer the call that the Lord sends to us in our tasks, and spreading the word about the show, supporting the show through sponsors and supporting the guests that we bring on,
yeah.
And then any constructive criticism, any guest suggestions, anything that you guys think we can do better. I mean, feel free to send those, you know, via email or contact us or however you want.
But the prayer part of it, though, Joe, I think, you know, that really struck me, and I think that we just want to be what we're supposed to be in the eyes of God to our listeners, who we consider our extended family. That's kind of the long and short of it, you know.
And the more people, I feel that the purpose of this show is to help bring people back to their relationship with Jesus. And we just pray that as many souls can be saved, will be.
Yeah. Wow. What an introspective, or a question to cause introspection.
Would I be able to pray for you now, or would you like me to pray privately after our phone conversation? There's a couple of things I wanted to share with you and get your personal collective intake on.
Whatever you pick, you've got the floor. So,
okay. Dear Lord Jesus, I just lift up this father and son and family to you. You order the steps of a righteous man, and you protect those who are righteous and holy in your sight. You warn us not to be afraid many times in the Bible, and you also tell us in Proverbs, fear of man is a snare. Lord, I thank you that your words are faithful and true. I thank you that no weapon formed against these gentlemen, their families, their message, their network, no weapon formed against them will ever prosper or succeed. And that goes for Steve Quayle and Chris Pinto and Tom Horn and everyone who is on the forefront of the Watchman. Lord, I pray that you would give them spiritual encouragement and to speak to any dry bones, to let them know that they are not speaking to a wall, but they're speaking to impassioned Christians and perhaps non-Christians who are so interested in today's topics that they will be looking to man and there will be no solution. And they will look up to you, Lord Jesus Christ, to save them with repentance and salvation. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you encourage these men of God and their families. We ask, Lord, from the north and the south and the east and the west, you provide sponsors, godly sponsors with godly products that serve you and serve others, whether it's in their time of need or surplus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that as their topics that they have researched endlessly and documented with integrity to only speak the truth through these airwaves, that these airwaves are captured back for you, Lord Jesus Christ, and the prince of the air cannot touch it, manipulate it, or shut it down. Lord, thank you that they continually come to the cross to you, and I just pray that they would feel your abundant living hope and your abundant living water to overflowing, to quench them, to encourage them, and to let them know that they are not preaching to deaf ears. Bless them going in, bless them going out. Give them favor and mercy wherever they go. And in the end of Ephesians, it says, when we have put on the full armor of God, we are to stand and to stand firm. Lord, I thank you that we can just stand with the full armor of God on and we don't run into battle because, Lord, the battle is yours. And that, Lord, you go before us and cause us to triumph in all things in Christ Jesus. I pray for financial provision, witty inventions, and spiritual discernment and wisdom beyond their years. Thank you for their integrity. Thank you for their integrity with their walk of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that they are not ashamed to lift up your name above all names. Thank you, Lord, that they're willing to put everything on the line to keep sharing Jesus Christ crucified. Thank you for the gospel, the good news. Lord, and I just ask that as their membership audience increases, we know that man's knowledge and wisdom is great, but it's all folly compared to yours. So I ask that we would take our eyes off of man and fully look up to you, Lord Jesus, because you are the only truth, way, and life. I pray peace for their families, physical, financial, spiritual, emotional safety for their families too, and for their beloved dog. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that they will feel encouraged and blessed. And now when they get to heaven, they will know how many souls were saved, not because they can save, but you can save, but they were obedient to do what you called them while they were temporarily here on this earth, because we have to remember not to clutch to this world so tightly that we can't do what you did. So, Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name for these wonderful men of God, their wives and family who have sacrificed for us, and I pray that they know that they're being listened to, that they are valued, and they are considered family and friends. And we thank this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm King James. I'm not NIV. I'm working on it. I just have a couple of quick mentions, if I may. If not, I'll get off the air so you can take your next caller.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Recently, Bank of America has been putting out flyers on counters saying that effective in fall, if you have X amount of dollars of cash you'd like to deposit in perhaps your account or someone else's account, you're going to have to require ID, which is very unusual because if you wanted to give someone and you just happen to have their checking account number, you could go in and just want to make an anonymous gift or want to help someone, you could just go in and fill out the information and hand it over. They're now saying they need personal identification for cash transactions. And the question was posed, why is this being done? The answer to that was they're just trying to cut down on money laundering,
right,
any drug trafficking, things of that. So I call it word speak, and that's what concerns me, because I think the media and the powers that be are using word speak, which means words that never existed are now commonplace, and we're talking about. We do not call sin sin. It is now transgender, gay, lesbian, LGBTQ, NAMBLA, all of that. It was sin then, and it sins now. God's word doesn't change. And I would just like to ask everyone in their heart, next time they see a Facebook post or someone that is transitioning, as they call it, into being what they call their authentic self, realize that behind every smiling person who is elevating self, when the Lord says we're supposed to deny self, pray for that person, because behind every smiling person, there is a broken heart. There is a broken wife who's just lost her marriage.
Wow.
Or a broken man. Or a broken children that now have to look at their father and call them mom. Or go to a football game and have that child run up and be expected to embrace them and call them mom when they were, let's say, Jeff or Mark or Richard or Paul a year ago. And now we have the VA who's coming out and saying, we are going to do sex orientation changes. Gentlemen and ladies, this is not about that. It is what's behind it. Every face has a backstory, and so does the enemy. The enemy does not want the image of God reproduced from pre-birth to birth. That's why we have Planned Parenthood. Satan does not want families to thrive and reproduce and grow. He comes to steal, rob, steal, and destroy. So please, I beg you, every time you see someone going through this change, remember the people that have been left behind to weep and pray and stand in the gap. And remember to separate the sin from the person. Call it what it is. And remember, this is Satan's agenda. So there's no more reproduction. There's no more image of God. And we need to stop the word speak right to our pulpits and call it like it is, sin. We need our David Wilkersons back in the podium.
Yes.
We need to be convicted of sin. We need to have the preacher, pastor, minister stop talking about kumbaya and be led by the Holy Spirit. And if conviction needs to fall, so be it. Because as it says in Revelation, Jesus walks among the lampstands. And I think we have to stop fearing man. That's a snare. God tells us not to be afraid. But I am very passionate about this transgender LGBTQ movement because I personally experienced it, and there's severe casualties. But God is going to mend our broken hearts and lift our crushed spirits. So just remember, when you're looking on Facebook or you see a Twitter or you see an Instagram, it's not joy. We can't count it all joy for them because they're going down a wrong road of deception. And lastly, we have to keep praying for Israel. Biblically, time after time, you turn your back on Israel, God is going to provide righteous judgment. He loves everyone. Once they come to salvation, he wants no one lost. He has no partiality. But you mess with Israel, and he's going to mess with you. It's biblical. It's not political. And I think what we are doing right now is we are so desperate. Rather than being hungry for the word, we are desperate for somebody to come into a political situation that they cannot solve spiritually. And we are desperate to have someone revive this country. I do not believe we're going to have a great revival. I think we have a sleeping church. There is a remnant to me that needs to be encouraged and flourished. So let's all get together and stand together and hold hands and lift up Jesus' name. And when we get scared, call each other and pray and know that we will have eternity with Jesus regardless of what happens. But it's not about bathrooms. It's all about salvation. It's all about deception and all the hurting people that were left behind. So someone else pursue what they consider an authentic self, which biblically is a lie. They're just as lost and hurting. They just don't know it yet. So thank you so much for your time. I've taken far too much of your time, but thank you. It's a privilege, a true privilege and an honor to speak to you both. And thank you, and God bless.
Mary, thank you so much. I'll tell you something, that from the prayer to your closing comments, you certainly have illustrated not only your integrity and your character, but you're just a wonderful example of the precious people we have in our audience. God bless you, Mary. Thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Have a good night.
Wow.
All right. Let's go to Robin in Oklahoma next. Robin, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got about 9 minutes before break, and it's all yours.
Yes. Praise the Lord. God bless everybody. Oh, Mary was wonderful.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, I prayed along with her, and Doug and Joe, everything she said was true and correct. And I've been a listener for quite some time, and I have gained a lot of knowledge and wisdom, words of wisdom with all your guests, and you both have been in my prayers as well. But Mary nailed it today, and we all need to do that for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus all over the world right now. We need to do that every single morning, every
Amen.
Morning. And anyway, I just wanted to encourage the body of Christ and encourage you all too, and to let you know that we're living in an exciting time, end time Bible prophecy in the book of Daniel and Revelation. And that's exciting. And yeah, we've got all this stuff going on that man's doing and all this, but you know what? You got to go back to the book of Acts. Because it stands for today in 2016, we have the power and fire of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit within each of us, because that's Jesus. And we need to reread the book of Acts and understand that and know that we have Jesus with us. They say, well, when is he coming? When is he? He's here. He's within us. So let that be an encouragement to the body of Christ. And just ask the Holy Spirit, our comforter, that he promised that he'd leave with us. And he's here within us. And he will lead and guide us. You know, he will do that. And that's what he does. And we have to take comfort in knowing that, Doug and Joe and all of us. And it's a wonderful feeling to know that, you know, we have some good things coming our way. But we just got to stand strong. And we can't be a quitter. We can't. We got to stand for Christ, and it's exciting. I love Jesus. Jesus loves us, and he wants the souls that are out there saved, because there's a lot of people going to hell right this through this whole program, seconds and seconds and seconds. There's so many lost. But, you know, we got to pray and plead the blood of Christ over the body of Christ. And you all, and all of us in Israel, we got to keep our eyes on Israel, Jerusalem. We got to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and pray hedges of protection over them. You know, we the Holy Spirit will help us when we don't even know what to do. And I just wanted to share that because it's really, really true. And Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his second coming is going to be the last one. And when he comes, he's coming with his great wrath. He's
Very
coming
true.
With wrath. And it's going to be something. I mean, I'm telling you, when I do get to go out and about at the grocery stores or something, I go right up to people. I have some little gospel tracts, but it just happens, and I ask people, I say, do you know Jesus? Do you know he loves you? And I talk to people. I've led people to Christ. It happens when I'm able to get out, and it's a joy because the Holy Ghost does that. And if I'm filling my gas tank up, I mean, something comes over me, the anointing, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And you know, we're getting ready to go home. We don't know, but you know what? We're not of this world, Joe. We're not of this world, Doug. And what you all do is so wonderful to the body of Christ, and you've blessed so many. You've blessed my life, and God bless you in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Christ over your ministry and your everything you do. And I lift you all up with angels, you know, with their outstretched forth sword, the Holy Ghost fire, to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. We have no fear. We have no fear. And just think on the book of Acts, because this settles out for today. You know, and Noah, you know, he warned everybody, not, you know, get in that ark. Hey, it's time. They didn't listen. You can't beg people to get in the ark, but you can warn them. But we, the Lord knows what's going on. He sits on his throne. But I just wanted to say that. I have a ministry thing I do on Twitter, and I have a lot of Leonard Ravenhill sermons and R.W. Shambach and David Wilkerson, and I do a little thing on Facebook. That's about it. I don't got nothing going on. I let the Lord lead me, but you know, just keep that in mind. We're living in the most exciting time, and we're going to be all right because God's got us, and there's no other God but Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I love you both, and God bless you. I just had to say something. I've been praying, and I asked the Holy Spirit to please help me to say something, because I don't know what to say, but he just said it through me. And
great. I mean, you know, Robin, it's so great to, I mean, the words of encouragement, but what you said is so important. You know, we know how the story ends. We know, yeah, there's going to be some trials and tribulations, small t, as we progress down the road. But what you said, you know, it's exciting because we know how the story ends. We know that Jesus is coming back, and he's going to open up a can of whoop, you know what? Right?
Ooh, I mean, yes.
You know?
Oh,
so,
yes. It's going to be wonderful. I've said, I've talked to people. I said, you know, and there's some people say, oh, yeah, we know Jesus. I said, well, I have my Bible in my purse. I'm not going to ever take it out. But I have some really cool gospel tracts, and I give it to them. I said, pass it on. And we start talking in the stores. And it's just like, oh, we pray. Nobody's going to stop me. They can't, because they always ask me, where do you go to church? See, there ain't no churches here in Oklahoma where I'm from. There ain't no Holy Ghost churches in here. There's not the right churches out here. But I said, we are the church. I'm the church. I just do what I do. I get out some, and, you know, I'm over my 50s, but I just learned so much by listening to your program, to listening to Steve Quayle, to listening to Hal Lindsey, and then, like I said, the other people, you know, that are already living in the land of glory. And I get so excited. Everybody's smiling. I pass them out when I go through a drive-through and leave them in the bathrooms. I leave my gospel tracts there. It's fun, and we just got to live in the book of Acts right now. We got to realize that we have the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost, and we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And we need to get out there like they did when they went on and did their thing. And there may be testings and trials, and there's going to be, and we see it right now. But you know what? We need to pray for the lost. We can do that in the mornings. And I always say, you know, Jesus, I pray for people to repent of their sins and to seek your holy face, because they need you. And in the meantime, I just talk to Jesus like I talk to you guys, and I just love you. And I think today was a special day for the Hagman and Hagman Report, because you needed some encouragement, and Mary started it, and I'm the last guest today, and the first time I call her, and we're ending it with this, and praise the Lord. I'm just happy, and we're getting ready to go home, and we're all going to stand before God one day. He's going to hug us, and he's, you know, love us, and then we're going to be, everything's going to work out.
Hey, you closed. Right, you closed out this hour. Wow.
We're at the top of the hour break, folks. We're going to be right back. Thomas, Jacob, Mark, Scotty, and Sarah. And when we come back, and more from our listeners on this Open Line Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.